Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. And on today's show, we'd like to talk about what is a healthy relationship. Be with us. It's going to be really interesting. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. Hello. So whether you're in a relationship or not, this is something that really occupies us. There's always what to improve. This is what we'll talk about today. Be with us. Tal, please. Yeah, we all want to be in a healthy relationship. Unfortunately, we hear about many relationships nowadays that are not healthy, what we call toxic relationships. It's a relationship that really poisons both spouses. Now, I saw some numbers that say that about 80% of the relationships are of this kind, that they have an unhealthy foundation, a kind of an addiction to the connection that even though that it's not good, they can't let go. We're talking about relationships in which people feel bad, there's exploitation, there's only one side that takes all the time exploiting the other side, different kinds of relationships in which both sides don't know how to nourish and strengthen each other, but that the relationship depletes them, and they don't know how to let go. So this is what we'd like to talk about today, that 80% of relationships are either destructive or negative. What is the fundamental reason for this? Man's ego, obviously. That's all there is. Because we're all egoists. And from generation to generation, our ego is growing, and this is why it works the way it does. I remember my grandparents from both sides. They knew that they have to get married and to build a home and to have children. Usually men worked, women were at home, taking care of the household, taking care of the children. And probably this is how it was before them too. This is the kind of structure that I still witnessed. Now, looking at my parents, my mother and father, mom was barely ever at home. Shirley came home, cooked something, did something, and again, off to work. She's a gynecologist. She was very well known. She was an expert. Later here in Israel, she was highly appreciated. And that's how it was. My dad, he was also working all the time. He was a dentist. I barely saw them at home. They didn't take care of me, but they gave me everything. Whatever you want. Ball, please. Tennis, no problem. This, that. Everyone had to work, and my mom also worked nights. My dad, I barely saw him, and mom, if so, then, you know, she used to ask, where's your homework, where's this, where's that? Meaning, it wasn't the way it was with our grandparents. Today, it's the same. Maybe even worse, because children are sort of neglected from young age. At least I grew up with a backyard, I had a dog, there was an orchard, and also my friends, they had houses with backyards, and we went to the lake together. For children, it was a real life. Today, when a child is closed inside this concrete box, what does he have? A smaller or bigger screen in front of him? And what does he see on that screen? So, what are we expecting of the children? This one thing. On the other hand, in the past, the ego, on the one hand, wasn't that big, and on the other hand, there was a home. There was a household. People used to grow chickens, vegetables, different things. Today you don't even have that. You don't have something mutual. What's common for people today is that they have the same supermarket, and one day, which is Saturday, that they don't exactly know what to do with it. In short, we lost our families, even though that people live together. They do exist together. Yeah, I have a wife, I have children, there's this, there's that. But it doesn't have the same feeling of a family cell, which is a warm home. And next to my home, a yard. And if not a household, then at least a dog, cat, something, kids playing under trees. Today you don't have that. Today everything is very artificial and closed. Now, let's depict something completely different. From this we understand nothing good can come. A young man and a young woman. They meet. First of all, before they meet, they already have a stormy life in their different kinds of relationships. Now, they meet, and eventually they decide, yeah, let's get married. And suppose they really love each other. To the measure to which it's possible nowadays, because each of them doesn't look at the world through his own natural eyes. He looks at the world through the education that he got from TV or through the screen of his mobile. And so each of them has a very strange way of looking at things, the way they were directed by Hollywood or Bollywood or whatever, meaning I no longer look at a woman that this is how she's supposed to be, that she's supposed to take care of the household, to be my children's mother, and to have different qualities like this, like that. I look at her in terms of, does she look similar enough to some actress or something? Meaning, subconsciously, I don't even know how to correctly think. From the Torah, we learn that before our forefathers got married, they brought their wife, their future wife, to their mother's home. So it says, he brought his wife to his mother's home, and then the mother taught her daughter-in-law. She came for stage. Yeah, sort of. She taught her, what does the child like? What does he need? What kind of character does he have? How to take care of him? And the daughter-in-law also made sure to receive all of these things from the mother and to learn from her how she treats the father, the child, and so on. She like got this imprint from her young husband's home, and then accordingly, later, made her home, her nest. Today, can you imagine something like that? Now, another thing is that, suppose, finally, they love each other, they want to get along, they want to be together, both of them are smart, well-taught, have a good profession and everything. They have everything. They have an apartment and a car and a few children. Everything's working out fine. And he is advancing in his career, she in hers, and maybe they even have a housekeeper. Everything. What about the relationship? Even though that they love each other, and they're smart, they want to sustain their love. They're thinking, how can we awaken love? They don't know how to. Is it possible to awaken love? I'm asking you. How? So, I love you, okay. But there's the matter of erosion. Habit becomes a second nature. You know, it turns into a habit. After half a year, 2 years, I don't know, today times are all together. This is in the best case scenario when they can get along because many of the couples, they fight all the time. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the as if good case scenario. How dangerous it becomes for the family cell because they as if need to all the time enliven their love, warm it. As it says, love covers all crimes and more, where is the love? This is what my teacher said, the Rabash. He says, love is like a pet. You have to feed it all the time. Otherwise, it can't survive. So how do you enliven it? By what? Each in his career and doing whatever they're doing, our life is erasing all of these things altogether. So this is the question. Unless we'll know how to enliven our love, how to warm it up, how to renew it, then soon, well, maybe young couples can make it for a year or two, and have a child, and barely, and then they get divorced, leave each other. They simply can't stay together anymore. And it's a wonder. Not only men, but women don't want to keep the family together anymore. It's a wonder. I hear it from families. I'll get along on my own. I don't want him. Why don't you? What is there about him that's so bad? He has different inclinations that you can't get along with or what? Still, he is your child's father. I don't want him. Today, women have this kind of approach where they're not afraid of staying alone. It's a wonder. For me, it's something new. Well, it's not that new. It's been going on for the, supposed past 15 years, but I'm 75 now, so for me it's something pretty new. So my question is, how can we renew our love? That suppose there is a couple sitting in front of me asking, how can we warm up our love, renew it, awaken it, reignite it? Both of us are willing to do anything. Show us some kind of game, exercises, something. We already tried to go on vacation, we tried to take some courses, whatnot. We can't. And without that, we feel that we're more and more indifferent toward each other up to the point where we feel that I have a home, I have a wife, I even have children. But for me, it's all becoming more and more distant from my heart. So what do you do? What? You're looking at me. You're the psychologist. We want to hear something new that we don't know yet. Something new you can find only in the wisdom of Kabbalah, otherwise we won't be able to overcome it. We'll all be in shattered families. We'll barely be able to sustain the family somehow. And today our life expectancy is double of what it used to be, and so we have an even bigger problem. And with all the different devices and gadgets that we have today, I don't need anyone to support me at old age or when I'm ill or anything. And so what follows is that eventually we have to understand that unless we rise above our own ego, each and every one of us, to accept the other above my own personal ego, unless I'll do that, it'll destroy my family. And this is how it is for everyone. Meaning, we have no choice. We have to teach children, to educate them, and the younger generation to begin with, how to rise above the ego, that this is something necessary. What does it mean? For us to see new horizons in our connection. Because as it says, man and woman, divinity between them. So that in our mutual connection, in which we support each other, we'll see how it's possible to rise to a new level of existence, of our existence. What do you mean? It means that I understand that in order to keep the family and the children, I have to rise above myself. That my spouse will be more important and closer to myself than I am. And I'll be the same for them. And that this way we'll start connecting with one another, with each other, and showing these kinds of examples to each other. And to constantly warm our relationship this way more and more. And then, by that, we will reach a state where, really, we will be able to sustain our connection, allowing it to constantly grow, and then we'll really start understanding what does love covers all crimes mean, that love can come only upon crimes, that if there are crimes, then we can overcome them, and then we build love. Otherwise, it's not love, it's just habit, hormones, and so on. In 80% of the relationships, there are so-called crimes, fights, lies, cheating. This exists in 80% of the relationships. So what is the new approach that you're offering for these unhealthy relationships? It's something that you have to teach. It's not simple. It's a very special correction. That now we're only talking about one of its sides, but actually, it means to overcome our ego in our different relationships between people and between people and the still, the vegetative, and the animate. Altogether, this is our destiny. This is what we have to do. Are there such relationships that it's better to simply end them, where there is exploitation, dependence? No, I don't think so. I mean, before their children. Before that, I don't know. Before that, both of them have no idea where they are. After that, I don't know. I'm against divorce. Well, not divorce, but today many people are in relationships where they're still young and they're learning what does it mean to be in a relationship, and sometimes they find themselves in a relationship that's been going on for years, that's unhealthy, that there's a struggle in it, and they're in it only because there's something addictive about it. They stay together, even if it's really bad. Then all the more, you have to teach them then how to build a good relationship. First lesson, what would you teach? It's not a first lesson. I'd have a series of lessons and talks and different kinds of activities on TV and on the internet. Something that any couple can participate in from home. So, first exercise. I'd explain to them what is the nature of each and every person, and that in modern times we can't stand anyone. I can barely stand myself. And therefore, mankind is developing different tools to allow everyone to feel comfortable on their own, not needing anyone else. See the kinds of systems that We've created social security, hospitals, old age homes, and more, it's all in order for a person to be taken care of whenever he needs it by other people. Meaning pay and receive. Meaning, I don't get love, I don't get some kind of a special treatment here, but what I get is a service. So, here, we have to understand that there are completely different relations here. And even though that we live for 80 or 90 years together nowadays, and this isn't the limit, but we'll live for 100 and 120 years, and we can really live our life in a good and a nice way, helping each other, and more appreciating each other. And we'll appreciate each other, yeah? Okay, suppose we understand this explanation gradually, bit by bit, and now we want to get a first practical exercise. You call this project to learn how to renew, how to ignite love. First practical exercise. To show each other how we can benefit and concede to each other, specifically in those places where we know that we ourselves don't want to. By our own nature, by our ego, we don't wanna. But I do it. And I'm happy for overcoming my ego in favor of the other. The other meaning my spouse. Many times what happens in such relationships that are considered unhealthy is that there are no clear boundaries. There's a kind of dependence. Usually there's the one side that takes care of the other side that only takes all the time. You can see it sometimes on women that take care of a man that doesn't work, doesn't do anything, but they take care of him all the time. And this is called an unhealthy relationship because there's no balance and no clear boundaries here on part of the woman. So, when you're talking about, so you have to teach both of them how to, first of all, reach balance. That it's impossible that there will only be one who gives and the other that receives, but both of them have to give and both of them have to receive. Otherwise, it's not a relationship. So, first of all, there has to be a healthy mutual foundation. It's called codependency, meaning that it's an unhealthy kind of relationship. Again, I don't want to get into all of these details. You can tell me about different things. Unless we teach a person how to rise above his ego, nothing will come out. I'm not talking about psychological corrections, but it has to be above a person's psychology, above a person's ego. Only if we'll teach them how to do that. This way, you'll get a good result. Otherwise, you won't. Okay, so about the exercise you just gave. You said that a person has to show their spouse how he can benefit the other, specifically in those places where it's clear to me that I don't want to. Meaning that by nature, I feel that I completely don't want to do this specific thing for her, but you have to show her how much you're doing it for her, and that by nature, that it doesn't coincide with your own desire, but you want to go above your own desire and follow her desire, to show her an example by it, how much you're overcoming your ego according to her desire, and you're expecting, and really expecting, you're not just doing it without what we call so-called reflected light, without mutuality. Right, you expect her to do that too. And if I don't do that or she doesn't do it, let's be more realistic. Suppose she gives me good examples and I'm not responding. So you're not taking my course correctly. Obviously, but what do we do? Tal, you see, she's excelling. She listens, she comes home to her spouse and tries to do what she's saying. Suppose I'll be her spouse and make believe, and I see that Tal is really making an effort, and I'm not really making an effort. What is she supposed to do now? She has to show you more how she's doing it on purpose, to put an emphasis on that, how she's doing it above her own desire, only in order to receive from you the very same action in return. Where does a person take the strength from to perform these kinds of actions? Where does he have the strength to overcome this way every time and show love? This is the kind of attitude you want to receive from him in return? Yes. So, do it. And if he doesn't repay her the favor, so to speak, again and again in a very clear fashion, for him to understand that he can't be like you, you know, stubborn, but that he has to become softer and to treat her with understanding, to listen, to be in a mutual relationship. So in a relationship, does there have to be some kind of support in order for it to happen? A mutual kind of support, where they understand they're taking the course, right? This is what they're learning. It's given to them as exercises. In a few days, they'll be tested. Did they do it or not? So the environment is supportive and it motivates a person. Yeah. And then we can examine who did, who didn't, why did you, why didn't you, let's have a workshop, how did it pan out for you and for you, and this way to teach everyone, and then we will have families. Unless we rise above our ego, there will be no families. The ego will eventually destroy everything. Dr. Lightman, in order to summarize our discussion, what is a healthy relationship? Love covers all crimes. And in simple words, that we all the time increase the love between us artificially. We teach each other how each of us, in favor, for the sake of love, is willing to perform artificial actions. And it's like feeding that pet, like Rabash, my teacher, used to say. Dr. Lightman, thank you very much. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.